if you want to live a life that is fruitful, you got to be able to hear his voice. You got to be able to differentiate his voice. And the way you differentiate his voice is by spending time with him daily.
Welcome to the Jesus Storybook Bible Podcast, a place where we remind you that grace can rewrite any story, that hope shines a light through our darkest moments, and that God's love changes lives. Here's your host, New York Times bestselling author, Sally Lloyd-Jones.
Hello, I'm Sally Lloyd-Jones, author of the Jesus Storybook Bible, which tells the story of God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Welcome to the show. Today we're talking about one of my favorite things, comedy. Mel Brooks said this, "Tragedy is when I cut my finger. Comedy is when you fall into an open sewer and die." Peter Ustinov said this about comedy, "Comedy is simply a funny way of being serious." Christopher Fry said, "Comedy is an escape not from truth, but from despair, a narrow escape into faith." Dario Fo said, "With comedy, I can search for the profound." So you see, comedy is a very serious business. Comedy has the power to quickly shift your mood. It crosses race, religion, ethnicity, social class. It unites people from different backgrounds. To make people laugh and to leave them with hope and inspire them is the lifelong passion of our guest today. The New York Times said this of his comedy, "The show had the audience convulsing." Award-winning stand-up comedian Nazareth has been honing his comedy for over 30 years. He's performed in stadiums and arenas across the country, made guest appearances on national TV and at the Grand Ole Opry and more. And he has visited over 200 prisons and death row facilities, bringing laughter to even the most unexpected places. His goal is to bring laughter to his audience, so in those moments of connection, he can direct his acts to improve their well-being and to bring them happiness through God's love. How beautiful. Nazareth shares how he came to the US, how he worked several jobs before he got into comedy, and what running a marathon had to do with it. But I'll let him tell you that story. So, without further ado, please welcome my friend and now yours, Nazareth.
I'm comedian Nazareth. That's what I go by. My real name is Nazareth. I was born in the Holy Land, and I've been here for over 30-some years. I was born to a Greek Orthodox Christian family in the Holy Land. I'm from Nazareth, but my parents are originally from the Gaza Strip. So I left when I was 3 years old, and we moved to Kuwait. It was a very wealthy country. But somehow, I just always wanted to come to the U.S. So when I came here, I went to University of Toledo, and it was just different because I didn't speak the language, and my parents right away lost their work in Kuwait. So I was in this country with no English and no money. So I had to quickly get some work and start to pay for school. I was able to actually start two businesses in Ohio, a fish cleaning business and a bait shop. Don't ask me why, because I grew up in the Persian Gulf, never knew anything about fishing. When you have to survive, you learn fast. And I was able to take care of myself and my family. And then we moved to California because my parents couldn't handle the cold weather of Toledo. I mean, in the wintertime, with the wind chill factor of like minus 20-some, that's evacuation weather for Californians. So we evacuated to California. I was working three jobs, and then somehow, I don't know why, I decided I want to run a marathon. I was smoking, drinking, doing drugs, going, you know what, maybe if I run 2 miles this year, maybe 3 miles next year, 4 miles the year after, I can finish the whole thing in 20 years. I joined in the Los Angeles Marathon, and I got there that morning, smoked my last cigarette. Sounds like a country song. But I started running with the rest of the I don't know, 10,000, 15,000 runners. And when you're running with a crowd of people, just keep running. The people are just encourage you, keep going. And my lung going, don't listen to them. Quit. Stop. Stop. And my toes are going, no, no, no. We're not going to do that. You're on your own. And I kept running and running and running. And I finished it. I did not believe I could finish it. I mean, in my mind, I was like, there's no possible way my body can do this. So when I got to the finish line, I was laying there on the ground, and I asked myself the question, what would I want to do in my life that if I never get paid for it, I will still do it to the best of my ability? Because I felt at that moment that I can do anything. And it was making people laugh. Not being funny, but making people laugh was my goal. So the next day, I went to Encino, California, and I signed up at a comedy club called the LA Cabaret. And I signed up for open mic night, and at 7 p.m., it was 300 people in the crowd. Great show. When I got on stage, it was at midnight, and 9 drunks left at the club. I went up, did 2.5 minutes of jokes that I've just when people ask me, oh, you're from the Middle East, you guys probably, you know, you have tents right there. And, you know, back then, that's what they thought. I go, yeah, I have a 2-story tent with a 2-camel garage. So I use these kind of jokes and people just died laughing. And, you know, a couple fell off their chairs laughing. I was living in Orange County, but I would go to LA every day after my accounting firm job till 5 o'clock. And I would drive to LA, stay up till 1 in the morning, do these open mic nights. And then I would come home, sleep for a few hours, go to work. I started, you know, getting paid spots. I started doing Vegas. I had a manager. I was the new face at the Improv Comedy Clubs, which is the top clubs in the country. And, before you know it, NBC was thinking about doing a sitcom called Fish Out of Water, A Middle Eastern Man in America. That's where the height of my career was at that time, until someone invited me to church. This comedian who's from a Japanese-American background, he performed and he was clean. And after the show, I go, wow, would you like a cigarette? He goes, no, I don't smoke. I said, can I buy you a drink? You're very funny and clean. He goes, no, but would you come to church with me? I go, yeah. He goes, really? I go, yeah. I'm from the Holy Land. We gave you Jesus. So I go with him to church. That day I felt God is mad at me. I knew he's perfect and I know he's holy, but I knew he can see my heart. And I knew my heart was corrupt, lustful, coveting, just prideful. All I wanted to be is famous and make a lot of money and get the attention. So I'm like, okay, if I go to church 200 times, maybe God can be merciful to me. That was my idea of who God is, which was completely wrong. Because when I got to that church, the pastor said, come as you are. Jesus will start the work in your life. And that's all I needed to hear. So I went forward. I was crying like a baby. I gave my life to Christ that morning. And then the next morning, I called my manager in Hollywood. I said, listen, I'm quitting. He goes, what? I go, I'm quitting. He goes, no, you're kidding. I go, no, I'm serious. He goes, NBC is looking at the sitcom. We're going to do a sitcom. I go, I'm sorry. I quit. He goes, why? I go, I'm a Christian now. He goes, you've always been a Christian. What are you trying to go to a different network or something? I said, no. I'm just quitting. I don't think I can honor God with my comedy. Because what are you talking about? It didn't go very well. But at the end of the conversation, he was convinced. He goes, okay, fine. You can quit. So I quit comedy. And a week later, my pastor comes to me and he goes, hey, Nazareth, can we do a comedy show at our church? I'm like, no, you can't. He goes, we were going to come see you finishing your dates at the Improv in Irvine. But I told him not to because there's other comedians who are dirty, but I cleaned up my act at that point. But he said, can we come? I said, you want to do something at church? You can't. He goes, why not? God created humor. Satan perverted it. So I said, okay. And we did a comedy show in 1992 at a small Baptist church. And 400 people showed up uninvited, had a great show. I was able to use my comedy to make people laugh, but to a point where they lower their guard. They go, I like this guy. I trust this guy. I can relate to this guy. Because when you laugh, it just disarms you. My prayer always before every show that once our wall is lowered, that the Holy Spirit would pierce their heart and they would get to know Christ. So a lot of my shows, I get to share the Lord and I get to share what God has done in my life and I lead them to the source of joy. You laughed for 2 hours. Your side hurts. You really had a great time and it's a good medicine. But I'll tell you what, you can go home right now and get an email or a text or a letter in the mail and you're going to be miserable. But if I can lead you to the source of joy, regardless of what you're going through, you can still have joy. And that's when I share the gospel with them and give them an opportunity to respond to it. One time I was in Centinela State Prison near San Diego. We were in a maximum security yard, and the yard was called Life Without the Possibility of Parole. And I'm going, how can you encourage someone who knows they're never going to leave that yard? They're never going to see the light of day. And some of them got there when they were 15 and 16. So I was driving towards the prison and praying. I said, Lord, what do I say? How can I encourage these people? And I felt the Lord saying, tell them they're doing time, but I'm outside the domain of time. So when I went to that prison, I made them laugh. I brought a couple of comedians with me to make them laugh. And then when I got to the end to encourage them, I said, listen, I just want to let you know, this is what the Lord just put on my heart. He said, you're doing time, but he's outside the domain of time. That means there's maybe if you look at your actual time here and this, you don't have any hope. But if you know that you can serve God, you have that freedom every morning to get up, be able to share the gospel with other inmates, just help people out, pray for them. You know, that gives you the freedom to know that you're a child of God and you have you're in the kingdom of heaven. So you can encourage people and pray and try to lead all your yard to Christ. And they were like almost crying. They said, thank you. We never thought of it that way. And you just encouraged us. So that's God's way of showing, you know, love and encouragement to people. This is a passage from the Jesus Storybook Bible called The Friend of Little Children. Jesus' friends were arguing, who was the most important helper in God's kingdom? They wanted to know. So while Jesus' friends were arguing, some people who knew all about getting gifts, in fact, you might say, they were gift experts, had come to see Jesus. Who were they? They were little children. Jesus' helpers tried to send them away. Jesus doesn't have time for you, they said. He's too tired. But they were wrong. Jesus always had time for children. Don't ever send them away, Jesus said. Bring the little ones to me. You see, children love Jesus. And they knew they didn't need to do anything special for Jesus to love them. All they needed to do was to run into his arms, and so that's just what they did. Well, after all the laughing and game, Jesus turned to his helpers and said, no matter how big you grow, never grow up so much that you lose your child's heart, full of trust in God. Be like these children. They are the most important in my kingdom.
You can get the Jesus Storybook Bible wherever books are sold. To find out more about the book and all of Sally's other books, please visit Sally at SallyLloyd-Jones.com and follow her on Instagram at SallyLloydJones and at Jesus_Storybook_Bible.
Before we go, don't forget, God loves you with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Oh, hello, it's me again, Sally. I'm just popping back briefly to say two things. The first thing is, don't forget to subscribe to the show because that way you'll get the stories straight to your phone. And the other thing is, while we're at it, would you rate the show and leave us a review? That would be so great because it helps other people find the show too. I really appreciate your help. Thank you.